Okay, let me, let's speak about a little bit of an unusual topic that's going to bring us back to the fundamentals of the Nefesh HaChayim. That the Chumash in Devarim, Parshas Shoftim, Moshe Rabbeinu speaks to the people, and he says, Ki atah bo el ha'aretz asher Hashem elokecha noten lach. Soon you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, and when you come into Eretz Yisrael, to the land which Hashem has given you, leisil madlafes kisvei avos hagoyim ha'hein. You have to be careful not to learn to do what the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael, the Kanani people, what they do in Eretz Yisrael. Don't go their way. Stylish in Israel at that time for people to bring their sons and daughters as sacrifices in fire. Don't do that. Kosein Samim, you'll find a lot of magicians. Ma'onein, Menachesh, Machashesh, different types of black magic and white magic and green magic. Ma'onein, Menachesh, Machashesh, Chover, Chover, Shoel, Ovi, Adoni. This is, Rashi explains each one of these. These were different types of kind of like magical or alternative types of healing. People would be ill, and they would do things, they would have certain things that they would talk to the Macher. They would be experts that would be diviners, and they would get rid of, you know, get snakes to move all around. And, you know, we're familiar with this. Chover Chover, Shol Ovi Yedoni, V'dorech El HaMesim. They would go and speak to seances and speak to dead people and rise them back. All the stuff we saw on TV when we were kids. So when you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael was full of this type of behavior. This is what it was. This is what was going on in Eretz Yisrael before the Jews came. There was a long tradition of these type of behaviors. And Moshe Rabbeinu is warning the people that when you go there, you may be taken in by all of this thing. You know, when you think about it, I just want to add my little commentary here. It may appear, I mean, if you could imagine coming, here's the Jews that came out of Egypt. Most of them were never even in Egypt because the ones that were in Egypt died. So this is a nation of people born in the desert. They saw miracles. Miracles upon miracles. They lived basically with miracles. These are people that might have been 5 years old, or 10 years old, or 30 years old, or 35 years old, 38 years old. That's basically was the group. And everything they saw was Be'er Shel Miriam. They saw water coming miraculously, mun coming from the Shemayim, pillars of fire and pillars of and they heard this from their parents. They already heard about the 10 Makos in the shrine. So they were used to this type of supernatural type of intervention coming from above. That was life. There was no normal life. There was no agricultural life in the desert. There was no, you didn't go out and become a mailman or a doctor or a lawyer. Like, that's not what happened. It was just this kind of a miraculous, very spiritual, I guess the right way to call it, very spiritual existence. So now they're going to come to Eretz Yisrael, and that's stopping. There's no need any longer for the mun to come down or for the water to come up or the pillars of fire, the pillars of... And now Hashem says, you know, the whole parsha of the Torah is, okay, now plant seeds and grow tomatoes and work. It's a different kind of a life in Eretz Yisrael, ironically. Ironically, I mean, you would think this would be the place that would be so full of miracles and spiritual. And no, you got to work. But then here's an interesting connection. So you come in Eretz Yisrael, you're kind of ready to get down to earth, you know, to get close to the earth and to get your hands dirty. And then you look around you at the Kananim, the people that lived here, the indigenous, at that time, the people that thought they were indigenous, the indigenous population of the land, and what are they doing? They're divining, and they're doing seances, they're doing all kinds of, quote, spiritual type of things. And we would be very, very vulnerable to that type of behavior, right? Wouldn't we? I mean, I think we still are. Still very vulnerable. to it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, don't do it. Ad kedei kach, they would sacrifice their children. I mean, we've got to believe they liked their children. It's not like they didn't like their children, but this was something that they did. They you know, come into Israel, and you'll see the people are doing this crazy stuff. They're taking their children, they're bringing them onto an altar of a Baal, and they're sacrificing them. Like, unbelievable. So don't do that. Tayevas Hashem, Tayevas Hashem, Koloise Eilat. This is an abomination. Abomination of Hashem, anybody who does this. Ubiglaula Tayevas Eilat. And it's because of this type of behavior, these type of abominations, that Hashem Elokecha Moiris Oisa Miponecha. It's because of this type of abomination that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is getting rid of them and bringing you in. In other words, you are the replacement because you don't do this type of stuff. What should you do? And here Moshe Rabbeinu says this famous pasuk, Tamid Tia Im Hashem Elokecha. Be pure, be simple, be unsophisticated with your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch. What does that mean to you? You don't need bones, you don't need dead people, you don't need fiancés, you don't need to do anything so dramatic. So just talk to Hashem. Tell them to you if Hashem will have. All you have to do is talk to Hashem. So it says the Torah. It goes on. The Goyim, it's like a repetition, but it's very interesting here. These Goyim that live in Eretz Yisrael, and the ones that you are taking over the land from, that you're inheriting the land from, they listen to magicians. I'm using magicians as a sort of a generic word. Someday the better one I'm willing to take. This is their culture. They listen to these. But not you. This is not what Hashem has given you. We have a much better Yerusha. What do we have? You will have always I'm saying, because it's not really always, but you will have, the Chumash says it has to be always, there will be a Navi that will stand up, a prophet will stand up from amongst your brothers, Kamoni, it'll be just like me. Others you're used to me, you'll have something like me. You'll have a Yeshua, you'll have a Yeshayahu, you'll have a Yeriyahu, you'll have the Viet. Because the question you may be asking is, why Navi? Like, why can't Hashem just speak to us? Why doesn't Hashem just speak to us? And the answer is because, please remember, he says that when you stood at Har Sinai, the Horeb, you made a demand, Yom HaKol, on that great day of congregating, the day of Mount Prayer, on Shavuos, Leimor, you said, we don't want to hear Hashem's voice any longer. I mean, Hashem spoke, that one and only time he spoke out loud, whatever it means, that's something that anybody can really fathom or understand, but Hashem spoke, and the experience was too good. The experience was too severe. And everybody said to Moshe, must speak. We can't listen to we don't want to see this fire anymore. We don't want to see this. It was too dramatic, too much. Lo Amos, they thought they're going to die from it. Vayomer Hashem Eli, and Hashem said, Hetivu Asher Dibeiru. Okay, we'll do it their way. We'll do it their way as they asked. Meaning the original plan at Har Sinai was that if we were to complain about it, the original plan was that Hashem would just simply speak to us. See, these days, wouldn't Hashem speak to us? We speak to Hashem, but he doesn't speak to us. Not that way, anyway. So he doesn't speak to us. If he doesn't speak to us, that's because Moshe Rabbeinu explains, because you said, you davened, and said, stop speaking to us. We don't want you to speak to us. It's just too complicated. But instead, so they were worried, apparently, they're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem might start speaking to them again. You're telling us not to go to these people. And we also have a situation where you're going to die, Moshe Rabbeinu. You're not coming into Eretz Yisrael. We're not supposed to listen to these people, and we don't want Hashem to speak to us. So we're stuck on all three levels. What are we supposed to do? So on this, Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Davi Aki Lahem Again, he says, don't worry, I will give you a problem. So the nevuah, Menosati dvarai b'fi v'dibra alei v'kol asher atzadar. Hashem says that I will give them a prophet and I will put words in his mouth, and that's how you're going to get communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting here. This is a very interesting parsha if you start thinking about it. Interesting piece of the Torah. It was a big speech that Moshe Rabbeinu made to the people. And it's, what's most interesting about it, what's most interesting about it is that the your tendency will be to listen to, or to, in other words, you will go to these type of soothsayers and you will ask them advice as to what should I do. You'll go to somebody with a crystal ball and you'll ask them what should I do, or somebody who has a pendulum that goes back and forth and see where the pendulum stops. And you're going to ask them what to do. I have a better deal than that. I'm giving you a lovey. And don't fall into the trap of listening to these people. So says Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm giving you a lovey. So what's interesting is, not that I'm giving you Hashem, so to speak. It's not like Tavim Tiyem Hashem Elikecha. That's the first thing he says. You just mean Tavim Tiyem Hashem Elikecha. Which means, I believe, and don't worry about them. Like, there's two parts to it. Like, don't worry about them. Maybe they'll tell you, as the Rambam explains all this in the name of the Gemara, that if you see different things that they used to say, if a fox runs by you on your right side, don't start a business deal that day. If you're eating bread and the bread falls out of your mouth onto the floor, don't start a business deal. There's all kinds of, these are all the menaches nachas. Don't worry about it. Talmim tiyeh mashem alikasa means you don't have to worry about the cat, the black cat that runs in front of you. You don't have to worry about running out, walking under a ladder. You don't have to worry about all of these things. Talmim tiyeh mashem alikasa. You should just be a talmim. And your second problem is not that you're worried about it, but how do we get communication from a Kadosh Baruch Hu? I'll give you a Navi. So is the target.
Perhaps this fit in with, I think, I'm not clear, I'm not doing the Beit HaMikdash, like where most people were in the Nevi'im, right? Where things like
there were a lot of the Nevi'im.
So how does that fit in with what you're saying? Like,
why not?
Because it's like...
One Navi, you mean?
Yeah, like you get the impression it should be just...
There's always the main Navi. Just like today we have, you know, a lot of Gedolim. Yeah, I tell you something I've been thinking about a lot lately. When you look through the history, I'm not a historian, I wish I was, but I am very fascinated and a little bit knowledgeable about history. But it's interesting that particularly in Judaism, I think more so than by the Goyim, like we name every period very, very carefully. Not just the period, we name the leaders of the period. They always have different names. So it starts off, like Moshe Rabbeinu does with the Nevi'im. Moshe Kibbol Torah Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu Tzkenim, Tzkenim Nevi'im, Nevi'im L'Anshei Knesset Hagdolah. There was a period of the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah, period from the prophets, went to the period of the Tanoim, to the period of the Amoraim. Those were the Tanoim were in the Mishnah, and the Amoraim were in the Gemara. Amora, they set over the Mishnah, right? They were the ones that were saying over the Mishnah. From then we went to the, anybody knows how this works? We went to the Gaonim. There was a period of time between the Amoraim. Just in general, there were some in-between names, but all of a sudden all the great men were called Gaonim. Before that, all the great men were called Amoraim. Before that, they were called Tanoim. Before that, they were called prophets. Presumably they had different functions. And then from the Amoraim came Goinim, from Goinim came Rishonim, you know, Rambam, Rashi, you know, the 12th century, 11th century, 12th century, 13th century, 14th century, and then came the Achronim. And boom. So it's interesting that I think that... What? Right. Goinim, it was like anybody who was a leader was called a Goin at that time. Or it was called a Rishon, or it was called member of the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah. It was a title. And by the way, if you look at history, another interesting thing about history, just while I'm here, this a tangent a little bit, was interesting, is that what usually changed the period, it's not like somebody woke up this morning and said, hey, I'm not a town anymore, now I'm an Amora. What usually happened is that there was a great catastrophe, a crisis that took place, the Harbin Beit HaMikdash, the Spanish Inquisition, an expulsion, it was a Holocaust. there was always something very big that took place when it, that changed changed the dynamics and changed the mandate of leadership, because all of a sudden they have to do something else, and they couldn't do any longer. Sometimes weren't even allowed to do what the previous generation did. Amoraim were not allowed to say a Mishnah. They were only allowed to say over what they said in the previous generation. As Achronim, the Achronim were not allowed to argue with Rishonim. Not allowed is a big word, but what our job was, the job of the Achronim was to understand the Rishonim, understand the Rambam, not to try to one up the Rambam. Okay. I think Rav Chaim Brisker says that if you argue with the Rambam, it's not like you're an apokaris, you're a fool. it's a silly thing. You argue with Rashi, it seems to me, this is my chiddush, that the period of Achronim ended with the Holocaust. The Chavos Chaim was called an Achron, Rav Chaim Moser, we called them Achronim. Nobody calls, I don't think, they can call it, say, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Here at Eretz Yisrael a little bit more of the Chazanish, but it was already like that borderline. I mean, I don't know if it happens overnight, but something switched from Achronim. So what's the next? What's the next thing? So yeah, so I think Gedolim. I think all of a sudden, because you don't find anywhere in history that anybody ever spoke about the Gedolim. Until us, nobody spoke about the Gadol. We speak about Gadol, 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 this is a Gadol, are you a Gadol? You get all these things. What? The Shlikas. The Shlikas. And Rebbes. And Chassidish Rebbes, the Admors. This was like a new generation. And I have a feeling, I'm not saying this to be cynical or anything, I have a feeling that the period of Gadolim is also possibly. I think so. So I'm looking for a title for the next generation, if anybody wants that. got to come up with something good. I'll tell you, we'll write them all down. I think it has something to do with, it's very interesting that it has something to do with Malachtim or Masadrim. People that are Masadr, organizers. you're excited about this, I guess. Yeah. No, it's interesting. Like the whole world has changed. Not just leaders of Jews have changed. The whole world has changed. The whole idea of leadership has changed. The whole world. Changed in the secular world too. The whole concept of leadership has changed. Obama is not the same thing as George Washington. It's a completely different type of leadership. As much as the traditions are the same, I don't think that the Queen of England does the same thing as her great grandmother, or grandfather, whatever it was, grandfather. I don't think the royalty is the same. Everything's changed. It's interesting, even like. When I was, let's say, in high school, so computers were just like new, so everyone had, at that time, for them, people started getting like monitors, and then there was, no, before that, I'm talking about Unix, there was a mainframe somewhere in the city, like downtown, and you just hooked in, with these little modems, you hooked into the mainframe. It wasn't until like IBM came, and they said, they started making little computers instead of the big gigantic one, and they said we could put the power on your desk. So it's a very interesting how the computer world evolved from being like this one big mainframe in the middle of town and everybody like were slaves to that mainframe to all of a sudden there's computers on every desk, and now we're all networking them together. So you can have a computer like this size and do everything that those big computers do because I'm hooking into something big. Mamash, internet, email, I don't want to say too much, I'll get put in the paper. it's a pillar. So somebody said to me, why isn't there another Lubavitcher Rebbe? So I said, because Lubavitcher Rebbe, this is my theory, Lubavitcher Rebbe was a mainframe. We're finished with the mainframes. what has to happen now is it has to be like sort of a networking where I think decisions should be made by not individual gadol, but by like by streams of gadolim. The problem with molestas gadol etera. The only problem. So the only problem is that. Right. You know, I always say this thing that when the gadolim were told by the times of the Greeks that they wanted a Septuagint, and all they took the Shivim Chacham, the 70 languages, and they put all the different Talmidei Chachamim in different rooms, and there was a miracle happened, and they all wrote the same thing in the Torah. So I once heard Rav Huttner, he said that he didn't think it was such a miracle that they all wrote the same thing and they were separate rooms. If they all be in the same room, the same thing, that would be a miracle. So that's the problem with my theory. But all right, whatever it's called. But how did I get into this? I don't even know. But the thing is, Navi. So here Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael and there's going to be a Navi, and the Navi is going to satisfy your interest in all of the black magic crystal ball people in Eretz Yisrael, and it'll be a Navi Kamani Me'achefa, just be a regular person, like Me'achefa, one of your brothers, it'll come up. Here's what's the question. These things that were going on in Eretz Yisrael. So what was that? Like the crystal balls, the black magic, the superstitions, all that stuff. What was that? Was that like what was it? The real work? They were fooling themselves. It was fake. They were liars. So it had some power. Kishuf. Okay, kishuf. Okay, we're all familiar with comfortable with the term kishuf. Kishuf. Is it real or not real? For sure or false? Somebody does kishuf. If somebody does kishuf in Ramat Beit Shemesh, is it that they're? Probably not today. Okay. I think they. I met the real one. Here, go to Mumbai.
Drawing on dark on forces of nature there, and then just the Afghan stuff.
Okay.
I think I just sort of thought maybe I was talking.
Forces of nature?
No, there are things that exist already in the world that they're just drawing on that.
So the Rambam says. The Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph, goes through every one of these examples given in the Chumash. Kosem, Manasesh, Ma'onem, explains what each one of them is. Very interesting, but we don't have time right now. Ezehu Kosem, Ezehu Ma'onem.
What's the English word for
this?
Sayers. What's Ma'onem?
I'm owning something tells you the future.
It's astrology.
Elul Nos Nei. Here, you want for an example. I'm owning. It's like astrology. Ezehu Ma'onein. Elul Nos Nei Ha'ikin. These are people that tell you, so this is a good time for this, this is a bad time for this. Sha'omrim B'Yishtag Ninos. They say astrologically, Yom Ploni Tov, Yom Ploni Ra. This is a good day, this is a bad day. Yom Ploni Ra'i Lasis, Boim Alach Ha'plonis. This is a good day for this kind of adventure. Shana Flaini, Sai Fighters Flaini, Rao Lababar Flaini.
But we believe in things like that.
Yep.
It's just for a bunch of people. People want to be under certain bubble lives.
So you're saying that there's something to it?
There is. I thought there's a there is a model that is not a
but there's also Nihila. Okay. So you're saying the same thing, what? I mean, same, the truth.
Okay.
I wouldn't say it's obvious. It's going to be obvious because it's ridiculous. You know, don't do the, you know, is there a form of truth in disintegrating your child on a statue?
There's a Marshall Utah. I mean, there is Marshall
Utah. Okay. So don't pass them too quickly. And just it's very interesting. Ezu Dorish El Amesim. The Amarid that's Asma. I don't even sure if it's just miscellaneous. How about somebody fasts, the whole of London based HaKvaris, and then you sleep in a cemetery, Kadeshi Yavai HaMeis B'Chalom, and you wait for the Meis to speak to you in a dream.
What, do you sleep in the cemetery?
What? They slept in the cemetery.
Who the
Kofni? That's the Dorish HaMeis. Dorish HaMeis, one of the things I'm sure.
You
can
put off the visiting, like, Chalmanah, so you went to the cemetery, and you
say all different here, all different things here. All Lofei Shalom Mako. Lokei Shalom Masa. There's such a thing as talking to, you go to specialists. They can talk to your illness. Saint Korela Tinoch Shulayivas, I mean near favorite. Anyways, all kinds of examples. So the Rambam brings all these things, Machashe, all these kind of things, Maisik Shokin. And then it says at the end here, Udvarim Ha'elu, all of these things that I just spoke about, this is already Halacha 16. So all the 15 Halachas that I just taught you, Kulan Dibre Sheker because of pain. It's all Sheker because of pain. It's all a lie. You're being lied to because of, and they're just fooling you. I'm reading you the Rambam. Not like everybody here. The Hain Shehitu Bahen Arde Avedazara HaKanmonin Lugai Arad. These were tricks that were used by the Ovde Avedazara to get people to follow them, Kadeshi Yanahus, Kadeshi Yanehu Achrayim, so that you should follow them. They ain't royally Israel, and it's not befitting for a Jew. Shehain Chachomim, who are smart, Mechukamim. Chachomim, Mechukamim. Chachom, Chachom, Mechukam. Smart and intelligent.
That's what they're doing wrong, the guy now doesn't exist.
What do you mean? You read the Rambam? Sheker because of.
Sheker.
Okay, I'm just reading the Rambam. Sheker because of things. I don't know all the classes. I'm just pointing out.
Even if it's more, basically some new things that he's talking about, it may affect
his
mind.
Just come in with a blank piece of paper for a second, and forget all the things that were taught in seminary. Sorry. and here the Rambam says, the Rambam is a great rationalist, but he was the Rambam of the Rambam, right? Remember what we said? Anybody argues that the Rambam is a fool. He argues the Rambam, really, the Rambam knew everything. He knew the whole Torah, he knew everything else also. He knew everything. Everything we know, he knows. Dvar Me'il Kulam Dibre Sheker because of pain. He says in Yisrael, they're smart, knowledgeable, intelligent. When he moshech the havolim elu, it's not befitting to get involved in this kind of stuyot, hevel. Lo lahalos al aleiv, and one should never even consider sheyesh behem ta'aleh, that there is some type of a ta'aleh, an advantage to this. These are the dark ages. Anybody who believes in this, anybody who thinks that there's truth to it, the Dibre Chachma, there's wisdom to it. If you think for a moment that it's true, just the Torah said don't do it, says the Rambam, you are nothing but an idiot. You are lacking in basic intelligence. I won't even read this. What? You're like little children saying Dart and Shlema. Avobale Hachma. Avobale Hachma, Tmine Hadat. Yodu Burayos Bruis, people that are intelligent though with clear proof, Shakola Ilad Varsha Asatira, Ainon Dibre Hachma, Ela Tohu, the Hevel, Shnimshuchu Behem, Shnimshuchu Behem, Chaseri Hadav. Does he say it clearly enough? The doctor who called Darzei Oemes the Glovon. When he's made there, Amr Torah, and on this the Torah says, if he's zero, Kolei, and the Torah speaks about these issues, Tamim Tia Im Hashem Elikecha, that just be simple with Hashem, this stuff is all a bunch of shtus. So says the Rambam.
So wait, before you leave it, would that have also go for all the
severe
people seeing?
Maybe, but maybe we'll decide that by the end of the show. So the Rambam. So Kanara, just so interesting. The so Kanara. Hmm. So think about these things. Melting leads and stuff. They do this stuff today. Poor people do it. That if somebody was bitten by a scorpion, you're allowed to go to an expert to talk to your scorpion bite. But since it's dangerous, it's not going to help at all. But you're allowed to do it because since you're in danger, it'll be worse if you're nervous and that'll make it more difficult for you to recuperate. So Shulchan Aruch says that you can go to these people. It's like a tolda of Avodah Zarah. It's Avodah Zarah dick, but it's not Avodah Zarah. So therefore, since it's not Mamash Avodah Zarah, if there's a question of Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to use these people. There's no religion involved. There's no Avodah Zarah involved. Somebody's going to do with this kind of stuff. So since it's not Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to go to them even on Shabbos, meaning even for Chilul Shabbos, because it's you're allowed to be Mechalel Shabbos if you're in danger. So Shulchan Aruch adds, but it doesn't help at all. Even though it doesn't help, but it does calm your nerves. If it makes you feel better, so do it. In other words, it's the Shulchan Aruch, which is basically psychological. It's like a psychosomatic, not even psychosomatic, psychological thing. The what?
Mind doesn't matter.
Right. In other words, it's a bad thing for a person who's very, very sick to be nervous. So the Shulchan Aruch, it just calms your nerves. You're allowed to do it. Now, the key phrase here is this halacha is not that it calms your nerves, is afal pi she'ein hadavar moel klum. Even though it doesn't do anything for you physically to go to somebody to talk to your scorpion bite, nevertheless, you're allowed to do it because afal pi she'ein hadavar moel klum, hoyel mesukin hu yisir kadesh like kitrof daikelo. It's just good for the mind. It works. A lot of medical doctors say that about a lot of alternative practices. If you feel better, do it. It's some kind of a psychological thing. So, okay, if you have a different kind of upbringing, so you believe that this stuff really does work, and it's not like a tissue or something like that, it works. But there might be a scientific point of view that says it doesn't work. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are taking a scientific. It seems to me they're taking a scientific point of a scientific view of all of these practices, and they're saying that what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the people is when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to see all of this stuff. Don't be taken in by it because it's all a bunch of rubbish. It's not something which has any credibility at all. So just leave it alone. So that's what the Rambam says. That's what the Shulchan Aruch. So here comes the Vilna Gaon, and he jumps on it. He says, I'm just going to read you a little bit of it, it's a pretty long little thing here. Long. Afal pisha eino moel klum. The Vilna Gaon did not like these words, even though it doesn't help. He says, you have from the Rambam, you have this from the Rambam, and I read you the Rambam. He says, but you should know, says the Vilna Gaon, I will call Habayim Acharov, everybody who came after the Rambam, in the post Maimonidian era, the Gedolim, call Habayim Acharov, Chokul, they argued with him. Shaharei, because Harbe Lachashin Nemru B'Gemara. The Gemara is full of these kind of stories. I can sit here back for another hour and tell you stories about Rava and Abaya and Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda and how they met this witch and that witch and they had to do all kinds of protested to not be under their spells, etc. Machashefas. It's all over the Gemara. So the Sevilla says, what does the Rambam say? Quotes. Let me just get past all the quotes. Quotes from Tanakh, Avishai ben Shruya. Did somebody say that? Harbe Kiyoitsa, there's many, many cases. Laba Nikra Shman, Shafi, Batara, Heidu, Vayu, Islam, Latanilin. The Torah says even that in Mitzrayim, when Moshe Rabbeinu turned his stick into a snake, says that the Chartumei Mitzrayim were able to do the same thing. So the Vilna Gaon is learning that they really did it. They turned into snakes. They took the snakes and they turned them into snakes. Ayin Zoyersham, Lachain Kamiyin, you know that there's an idea of a Kameya, and a Kameya can help. But Harvey McClain was Rabu Milushkor, too many to count. Says the Vilna Gaon, listen to this, about the Rambam. His studying philosophy messed him up. He went too far with philosophy. Which forced him to learn the whole shas. This is quite a statement about the Rambam. He forced him to learn the whole shas, b'derech halotza. Say, well, it doesn't, to take it non-literally. The lakor osam mipshatim, and to go away from the simple pshat in the Gemara. The chas v'sholom, says the Vilna Gaon. Eini mamin behem v'loin mehem, loin mehem oinam. I don't believe any of this. Chas v'sholom, you're not allowed to accept this. El kol advarim hem kivshuton. If the Gemara says it, if the Torah says it, that's what it is. El shiyesh behem pnimiyos. Except that maybe the Vilna Gaon says you have to understand the depth, the inside, the pnimius. You have to understand the depth of it. Lo pnimius shabaliyach ala sufiyah, but not the pnimius that the philosophers have. Right, the Rambam was an Aristotelian. Shehem chitzonius, which is only understanding something scientifically or philosophically, which is understanding it from the outside. Ela shabali ha'emes. You have to understand it shabali ha'emes, which he means, when he says that, he means kabbalistically. So there's a famous that the Vilna Gaon says in a number of places that where philosophy ends, Kabbalah begins. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it works. There's philosophy is the outside, Kabbalah is the inside. Apparently here tells us that he's allowed to argue with the Rambam. I wouldn't want to argue with either one of them. The Rambam, the Vilna Gaon, I mean, these are the two, possibly the two greatest minds in history. The Rambam, the Vilna Gaon, and what we have here is a very clear machlokas whether there is such a thing as kishuf or not. Whether there's such a thing as kishuf or not. A fascinating question. So,
where is
Ayin Hara? Where is the Peninsula?
No, you believe that Ayin Hara is so
consecutive.
Don't believe
that Ayin Hara doesn't affect it. Very good. You're perfect segue. So many things like that, you know. So many things that we do. I mean, so many things that have, I don't know if they crept into our tradition or they are our tradition. And I, you know, Poo. Kanahara. Okay. I can't answer the question, but he learned everything is You don't know. The Rambam, I mean, I'll say this with the Rambam. The Rambam was so secure in his thoughts and his decisions that he said, he often says that even though nobody learns like me, if I'm saying this is the way it is, it's philosophically untenable for it to be the other way. So now you've got to work out how that works out. But it's things which we take, by the way, as basic, just while I'm here, things we say are basic. For instance, like everybody here believes in the incorporeality of God, that God has no body. Right? Anybody here think God has a body? You can leave because it's the wrong religion. God doesn't have a body, right? I just tell you that who was the first one in history to say that God doesn't have a body? The Rambam. First one in history. I challenge anybody to find anybody in history that.
Probably wasn't necessary to change.
Maybe. I think it's necessary, being that the Chumash says, Yad Hashem, Espa Elokim, He, Moshe Rabbeinu saw the back of Hashem's head, etc. I think if you look into a concordance and you'll see, look under the word Yad Hashem, you'll see it probably in Tanakh 50 times, and Raglei Hashina, and all kinds of things. So, Rambam says, look, God doesn't have a body. It's simple as that. God does not have a body. It's philosophically untenable to say that God has a body, because then how could he be everywhere? Body is limitations. Okay, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Okay, it doesn't work. So it comes to rise right on the spot. The Rambam's Baal Pukta, and he says, what do you mean? Many people that look at these words. I'm quoting you exactly. Harbe gedolim v'tovim hemenu haminu b'kach. Many people that were much greater than the Rambam believed that God had a body. K'moshe ra'inu, like we've seen so much b'mikra'ois and sukim u'b'divrei chazal ba'agada. This is an exact quote. Harbe gedolim v'tovim. So nudniks like me says, hey, well, who were these gedolim v'tovim? Hey, Medu, who are these great people that believe that God had a body? So the answer is, I have a list. You can there's a list. So it's only until the Rambam said it, it was. You're right. It was never said, probably because it never needed to be said. I would imagine that nobody really kind of thought about it. So what did they do when they got to the pasuk of Yad Hashem? They did what you know what I do all the time. I don't know. Yad Hashem. But it's a big achrayus to say a pasuk is not really what it says. It's just a mashal, right? That's a big achrayus. And here you see that the Vilna Gaon is taking the Rambam to task for doing just that. The Torah says it is. It is. You don't understand it, so that's a problem. You don't understand it. So with the Rambam, if you don't understand how witchcraft works, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist as a little bit. That doesn't mean you don't understand it. But the Rambam has such a sense of conviction in his own philosophy that he says that anybody who believes, this is one of the 13 principles of faith, if you believe that Hashem has a body, you're out. you're basically, you're a Christian. You know, like that's what the Yud Gimel Ikrim are. The 13 principles of faith mean that this is, according to the Rambam, this is the unfudgeable 13 tenets of Judaism. That if you can argue with this, you can argue with that. You can be befuddled with it. If you argue with one of these 13, you are out.
You what would so many times allude, like, you know, this it would be referenced to having body parts. I agree, obviously, that there's no. It's like there's no body, but like what would
Yad
Hashem, you know, or like you're saying, all those images that you've thrown in with prayers and
you're asking my question, yeah.
And why would that be put in if it's
mm-hmm.
complete
helps
reality,
us understand,
you know, to even go there.
Helps us understand the draw, it's like a hand reaches out, so Hashem reaches out. So you have to all of a sudden take every pasuk that talks about Hashem, and there are so many of these week's parshas that we're in. You have to take all of these parshas. How about this pasuk? Vayadaber Hashem Amok Shleimar. What about that? Are we going to take that literally or not? Did he talk with a mouth, with a voice, with his lungs, with the voice box, with a larynx? How do you get it? So I'll tell you the truth. I'm happy to say I don't know. But something happened there at Har Sinai that Hashem spoke, and everybody said, we can't handle it. We can't handle it. So something happened, but that's also physical, isn't it? Speaking is also physical. Maybe not as physical as having a hand, but it's also like... something else. It was something else, but it's a throw-off. I'm saying that the Rambam consistently... will tell us that if you believe that Hashem has a hand, then then you're not understanding. I don't know. What's interesting about it is that as the times have gone on, you know, here we are in 2010. No Jews believe God has a body. Even the conservative reform, you know, nobody believes. Better to believe there's no God than to believe he has a body. that's not a choice. Like, just God doesn't have a body. Christians believe God can get into a body somehow, but we don't believe that's a basic. This basic idea of God walking around in this world is just unacceptable, untenable to Jews.
Right.
So the Rambam won that one. Won that one hands down. Anybody who thinks differently, you're out. On the other hand, the Vilna Gaon argued with other things, which I guess are not as and said, if the Torah says there's such a thing as kishuv, then there's kishuv. The Torah says, why do you have to say it's all sheker? And hence we have a machlok. So let me try to explain. According to, it's a fascinating machlok, it's something to ponder. The Nefesh HaChayim, which is ostensibly what we're learning here tonight, the Nefesh HaChayim talks repeatedly about the fact that Adam Yisrael, for that matter, every human being, because we were created B'Tzelem Elokim, because we were created in the image of Hashem, we have the ability to be a borei like Hashem is a borei. We can create like Hashem creates. Maybe we can't build planets, but we have a creative ability to us. And that is the essence of what it means to be created in the image of Hashem. Tzelem Elokim. We've gone through this a number of times. Ma Elokim hu bala kaisis, gracious bara Elokim, we're Tzelem Elokim. What can we create? So the Nefesh HaChayim is very clear about this. What we can create, what we can't create. In other words, never yet has stood up a man that has been able to, levitate. Now, like, our powers have some limitations to it. Even big tzaddikim don't levitate, although they tell stories about the Sali riding on a magic carpet and things like that. But, okay, goes into this category.
Creating golems.
Okay. Yeah. Like today, what you can do in a laboratory is kind of amazing. You look in the early Rishonim, they say, well, one thing for sure, never will there be a time that a man will be able to create a man.
It's Red Valley. I'm sure somewhere.
I mean, we're still early. We're still early. It's just like, so maybe it's just not true, But the thing is like this, Nefesh HaChayim says that the real thing that we create, like Harrison, this is like a very, very important, the real ability of man to create is to create my world. I can create my world. Color your world. You can create your world. It's not a psychological thing or a philosophical thing. It's mamish a koach that every human being has, that you can make, you can create your environment, you can create the world around you, and you can create Olamos El Yonim, and your world. And what that means, to get right to the point, what that means is that you have a choice. I believe this is the emes. You have a choice. You can create a world full of kishuv, full of magicians, full of soothsayers, full of seances, full of healers. You can create that kind of world for yourself. Or you can create a world which we'll call Tamim Tia in Hashem Elokeinu. Achoy is the Kisei Kavodi. Hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. the straight type of Baruch Hu. It's a choice. It's a choice. They are both decisions that can work, meaning that Hashem did not create Kishuv. He created the ability for man to create Kishuv, just like he created the ability for man to sin. So we're bartering. We're a borei. These things are not necessarily there, but if you make them, they become real. Not like, well, let's leave the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon for a minute. Just listen to Haver. if a person creates exactly what you said, ayin hara, person creates an ayin hara environment. Boy, this one's giving me an ayin hara, that one's giving me an ayin hara. I just got a new car, and this one's looking at me, and now the car's going to break. And there's ayin hara. The Gemara says there's ayin hara. There's such a thing as ayin hara. It's a real thing. So comes the Gemara, says this very, very strange thing. It's only a problem if you're worried about it. Isn't that what you put it? It's only a problem if you're worried about it. Why? Is it a problem or is it not a problem? I don't, you know, do I have to go get my lead melted or do I not? Like, what is going on here with this iron heart? What if I don't know somebody gave me an iron heart? So I'm certainly not worried about it. I just don't know about it. Like, is that an iron heart or is it not an iron heart? By the way, I have to answer these questions. I have no idea what the answer is. I'm only saying this, that it's the Gemara says, so I'm safe to say, that if you're not koshish for it, you don't have to worry about it. Why? Because a person is a borei. This is the Shachaiza, a person, a borei of their olam. And you can create a world, the choice. It's a bechira that a person has to make. Every Jew has to make this choice. You can create a world of full of emsayim, full of middle mediums, or you can create a world where I'm going direct and I'm straight with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's depending on, but you can't do both. So the minute that the moment you give in your world, your personal world, nobody knows about your world. The moment you create credence and credibility to the superstitions, let's take that example. So now you have to worry about the fox running by you. Or black cat as it goes, or somehow an American
culture.
Maybe. You can connect to the source. Right. I think a bracha is not a fair example. Because we spoke a couple weeks ago about bracha. A bracha is a different mechanism. I don't know if a bracha works that way. I just don't know these brachas aside. But I do agree with this. The segulas are going. Even a bracha from a gadol, it became, you know, you have the give to the kupata ear and your children will be healthy. The Gemara says that Tanoisin Shadaka Amanashi Yichya Benai. The Gemara says about such a thing. But, you know, to turn the whole Sadaka into some type of a segula, or to turn mezuzahs instead of the mitzvah of mezuzah, which is such a beautiful mitzvah. I mean, if you learn about mezuzah, it's a beautiful mitzvah to turn it into a skula, you know, like a skula. This is a decision. In other words, there can be the chiddush of what I'm saying here is that that I don't think that there's an argument really between the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon. I don't think so. I think if you really look into this, even though the Vilna Gaon seems to be arguing with the Rambam, but he's explaining something to us, it's real, but it doesn't have to be real in your world. And the Rambam is a rationalist, suffered not from ayin hara. This is my opinion, according to the Nebuchadnezzar.
I understand there is one creator, so how can we all create our own world? What, how does that fit in?
Well, the creator, as we've learned here the last few weeks, the creator created us to finish off the creation. The purpose of man is to asher bara Elohim la'asos. Our purpose is to create. We're created to create.
But the Hashem is partner in the creation.
Cycle. Okay. So one of the things that right. So this I apologize just because we've gone through this for the last number of weeks, but this is clear from Nefesh HaChayim that one thing that we for sure can create is the environment that surrounds us and our world. So it becomes again, let me just summarize. What becomes clear is that Moshe Rabbeinu, Lefi Havanati. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to the Jews, you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael and you're going to be faced with a new kind of experience and a new kind of dilemma. And these people are able to tell you when to buy stocks, when to sell. They're able to tell you when to take a trip, when not to take a trip. They're able to, and you take it very seriously, and very intelligent people are going to them, and it seems to work. And it works. In other words, the astrologers, I think astrology has validity to it. I mean, my personal opinion. I don't think any part of the Torah, like you say, Avraham Avinu was an astrologer. Say me, send me in a shofar. A mazel Yisrael. Agree. I'm not sure that, Gene Dixon in the New York Times knows astrology the way he's supposed to know astrology, but I do think that if one would know it, there's Sfarim, Kliyakar, Ibn Ezra. The Sfarim, the Holy Sfarim on it. I don't think that's the point. The point, what do we mean when we say Ein Mazel Yisrael? We mean that if you want, you don't have to deal with all of that. If you want, Tamim Tia Im Hashem Alekecha. So Moshe Rabbeinu is giving the people a choice, and he's telling them, this is the way I think you should choose. Now, but you want to hear, but you need communication somehow from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How are you going to get that? If you're not watching the shadows and the cats and the wolves and all the different things that all these people are watching, I'll give you a Navi. I will communicate to you for a Navi. That is the one legitimate way, and that's maybe the bracha from Gedolim that we're talking about. The Birchas Tzaddikim. We know we have a Kabbalah that with the Rambam had gone to his father for a bracha. Of course he would, because Yaakov went to Yitzchak for a bracha. How can he not? But there has to be. So that's why I said bracha has such a makar in the Torah that is the derech. Yaakov died, he gave all his sons brachas. Moshe Rabbeinu died, he gave, right? Zoyt ha-bracha asher berach Moshe. So a bracha from a tzaddik is a long-standing tradition. We can ask a philistic question, why is that different than this? Okay, so that's we're over time, so I can't deal with that right now. But there's certainly that's an important question. But suffice it to say for tonight that what the Nefesh HaChaim is really the main accomplishment of the Nefesh HaChaim is to explain how powerful we are in this regard, and this is a choice that everybody can make, and this is a choice I believe that the Moshe Rabbeinu told the people to make, and the Vilna Gaon is right that yes, there's such a thing, and the Rambam's right that yes, it's Sheker. It doesn't have to be right. If it's coming to Eim Hashem Elokecha, anything that anybody will tell you is wrong. It means nothing to me. So this is where we're at with the Rambam and the Vilna Gaon.